We are halfway through the work week, and for those of you working, that's probably a good thing. We're also speedily coming to Christmas, and so if you're finding your life hectic, the next few minutes are important because what I have to share with you can slow you down and either remind you or introduce to you, for perhaps the first time, the person of Christmas, Jesus Christ. Others of you are not so busy because you might be alone this season. Maybe you don't really have anyone to buy a gift for, or you fear that no one will buy a gift for you or even spend time with you. Perhaps you're listening to me from a prison or jail. Maybe you're dealing with some conflict in your family or some other relationship. Maybe you just feel old and irrelevant. Well, I want you to know you're not alone or irrelevant. And there is someone out there who cares for you and who prays for you. And that someone is I. And I am glad that we get to spend this time together every weekday afternoon here on God Is. I pray for each and every one of you. And don't forget, you could always get in touch with me. My email address is mark@markaswallow.com. That is mark@markaswallow.com. Please write to me anytime. As you know, if you've been with us this week, we're reading in John chapter 1 and verse 14. John chapter 1 and verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." And I have divided this verse in four parts so that it's easy to understand. I've also encouraged you to memorize it. How's that going? Are you doing it? I sure hope so. This is valuable for you to do because this verse is the definitive statement on Christmas. And these are the parts. Part one is, "And the Word became flesh." And the Word became flesh. Part two is, "Dwelt among us." Dwelt among us. We discussed both of these over the last 2 days. If you were not with us, or if you want to listen again, you can get the podcast of this broadcast from the WEZE website. Just go to 590amtheword.com. Click on the podcast tab. God is there. Today, I want to take us into part three of the text. Part three is, "And we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father." Then we're going to come to part four, "Full of grace and truth." Part four of John 1:14 will be full of grace and truth. But today, let's concentrate on part three. Let me read that again. "And we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father." And what we can do is actually break down this third part even further into smaller parts. Let's start with the word "saw," "and we saw." And it's important we know that this word means, in the original Greek language, because it's not just a passing glance. It's not like sitting on the bus driving along and you glance out the window and see a restaurant that you didn't know was there. And then your friend says, "Did you see that?" And you respond, "Yeah, I saw it. Let's eat there and soon." But this word "saw" means to gaze on, to contemplate. William Barclay puts it really well. This word "saw" means to gaze at someone or something until something has been grasped of the significance of that person or thing. The idea is not that of a passing glance, but of a steadfast, searching gaze which seeks to discover something of the mystery of Christ. I love that. The writer and apostle John is saying, we gazed on His glory until we grasped the significance of Christ. We steadily searched until we discovered the mystery of Christ. Powerful. I'll say more about this at the end. So part three of John 1 verse 14 is, "And we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father." And our first smaller part is one word. It's the word "saw." Well, saw what? John writes, "We saw His glory." There's our second smaller part. The word "glory" is also outstanding. This is the Greek word doxa, doxa. And doxa is used a lot in the New Testament, at least 150 times, and John loves the word. He uses it 15 times in John and another 17 times in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, which he also wrote. The apostles Peter and Paul also love the word. In Romans, 2 Corinthians, and 2 Peter, it is used at least 10 times in each letter. Doxa means glory in the sense of honor, splendor. But even more than that, God is glory. Given that Jesus is God, Jesus is glory. Let me borrow from Haddon Robinson and put it this way. We've all seen the sun, and the sun is light. It is intrinsic to the sun to be light. Light is built into the sun. The sun cannot help but to be light. It is naturally light. We've all seen the sky. The sky is blue. It is intrinsic to the sky to be blue. Blue is built into the sky. The sky cannot help but to be blue. It is naturally blue. And we've all been in water. Water is wet. It is intrinsic to the water to be wet. Wet is built into the water. The water cannot help but to be wet. It is naturally wet. Well, Jesus is glory. It is intrinsic to Jesus to be glory. Glory is built into Jesus. Jesus cannot help but to be glory. He is naturally glory. And we cannot take Jesus' glory away. We can't touch his glory. We can't add to his glory. Jesus is glory. I hope that helps us understand glory, doxa. This is who Jesus is. So when we see Jesus, we gaze on him. When we contemplate him, and when we grasp the significance of the mystery of Christ, wow, we see glory. How are you doing? You with me thus far? We are learning part 3 of John 1, verse 14. This part is, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Our first smaller part is the word saw. Our second smaller part is the glory of Jesus. And now our third and final smaller part is of the only begotten of the Father. I want to talk with you now about this meaning of the only begotten of the Father. And actually, we've already touched on this earlier when we talked about John 1 and verse 18. Exactly 2 weeks ago on December 6th, I taught you the Greek word for begotten. You may remember that the word begotten shows up in verse 18 as follows. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. Begotten is the English translation of a Greek word that means unique, the one and only, and one of a kind. The Greek word is monogenēs, monogenēs. This certainly describes Jesus Christ. Jesus is unique, the one and only. He's one of a kind. There's no one like Jesus. There has never been and there never will be. And this one and only Jesus is of the Father. Again, this is very similar to John 1 and verse 18 that we've already studied. John is repeating himself. Jesus the Son comes to us from God the Father. God the Father sends Jesus the Son into the world in flesh to dwell among us. This is the message of this final little part of John's gospel. Let me pull it all together now if I can. John 1:14. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father. We gaze upon Jesus and contemplate him until we grasp his glory. Because Jesus is glory, doxa. As the sun is light, as the sky is blue, as water is wet, so Jesus is glory. And his glory is of the one and only of God the Father. That's the meaning of this part of John chapter 1 and verse 14. Wow, isn't this thrilling? Do you see Jesus Christ? In the world in which we live, we're surrounded by so many distractions that we can very easily miss Jesus. But in this one part of this one verse, John urges us to look for Christ. Steadfastly search for him. Do not just give him a passing glance. Oh yes, there's Jesus, but I have a lot to get done, presents to buy, dinners to prepare for, and parties to attend. No. This Christmas, gaze upon Jesus until you grasp his significance in your life. All right, Swallow, but be practical here. You want me to be more specific. Okay, here's a suggestion. Replace one or more of the things that you are finding so important to do with spending time with Jesus Christ. So, for example, cancel your attendance at a Christmas party or upcoming event. Instead, slip on something comfortable. Take your Bible to your favorite place and sit quietly and read in the book of John. If you do not own a Bible, you can easily get the Bible online. Take it, read it. As you read, read about Jesus. Consider Jesus. Think about Jesus. Watch him in action. Notice how he treats people. Notice what he says. Observe how much he upsets the religious elite, the Pharisees, and ask why he made them so mad. Read about him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Bible's New Testament. And say a prayer and ask the living Jesus to speak to you. Ask him to quiet your heart and mind so that you might gaze on him. Replace at least one of your Christmas activities with this exercise. I promise you, it'll be worth it. And then, come back tomorrow as we move on to part 4 of John chapter 1 and verse 14. And as we continue this Christmas to understand who God is.